find your place in 1 Peter chapter 1 again. That's where we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 1. A couple of weeks ago, when we were talking about when we started this study of 1 Peter, in verse 1, the key thought of verse 1 is Peter's greeting to the people that he's writing to, and he calls them strangers, and that gives us a little bit of a perspective of our relationship with the world. As the people of God and the kingdom of God, we're strangers, we're foreigners in a world that is foreign to our nature when we have been a partaker of the divine nature of God. So we're a stranger here. Therefore, things are going to be odd, if you will, in our perspective, our vision, because of our walk with God and our relationship with God. That's how Peter addresses this at the beginning. Then last week, we went to verse 2, and there is so much information in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, to unpack it all, you can't. It's impossible to do that in one setting. So what we considered last week was the first line of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 that says this: elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That one line is so big all throughout Scripture that it has, based off of that one thought, it has, it's given rise and birth to complete doctrines that cover the Bible, and complete denominations gathered around the word elect. What does that mean, election? We have a little insight on it. Peter goes on to say that we are the elect, but it's according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, the term election means to be selected or chosen. That's a comforting thought in this regard, that God chose you. He chose you actually before there was a you. Now, to consider that kind of enlightens us to the scope, a little bit of the scope, of how big God is. He chose you before there was a you. So there was a you before you were born. And that's significant. It's really significant in keeping with the totality of Scripture for this reason. Watch. There becomes a difference between birth and creation. Because in the heart of God, you are created, then you're born. And during that time of creation, you were known by God. Because the scope of God's wisdom is so infinite that He could foreknow everything that you would choose before you chose it. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
We have a little more insight into this one line, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, in Romans 8:29. We talked about it a little bit last week. And here's what it says: to those that He foreknew, He also did predestinate. That is, God had a destiny in mind on everyone that He foreknew, and we know what that destiny was: to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Right. Now, here's the questions that brings up, and it brings up a multitude of questions. Election, what does it mean? Last week we talked about the difference between transformation and conformity. How many of you remember that? Just to rehearse briefly, conformity is a matter of the will. To be conformed to something means you are bending your will to another will or someone else's will. Now, we understand that principle. That's basically what communism, socialism, fascism, all of the governments of the world that embrace that type of ideology centers around conformity. Their number one goal is to get their citizens to conform to what they say. Okay? And conformity is also a part of the obedient walk of the believer. Okay? But watch this. There are a lot of people who says to themselves, I'm going to do better. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to do this better. I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to change myself in respect of all the bad things that I've done. the world, the secular world calls it things like, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution, and I'm going to do this. What you're doing is you're conforming or bending your will. But here's the problem with that. Willpower doesn't last. It doesn't sustain. So to the child of God, conformity is impossible without transformation. Transformation is not the bending of someone's will. Transformation is a metamorphosis. It's a change of your state of being. It literally changes who you are. That's transformation. So there's a lot of people in church who try to conform, but unless there is transformation before there is confirmation, you'll never be able to conform. You can't bend your will to the will of Christ unless transformation has occurred. And when we were talking about that last week, it brought us all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And if you'll remember this, and there's a reason why I'm calling this to your attention, in Genesis 1, 26, God had a council meeting in heaven between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, let us make man. Let us make man. That's extremely significant. It's extremely important. It shows all three persons of the Godhead at work in the act of creation. So, therefore, any creative act of God requires all three persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The reason that's foundational is because as you study the Word of God and you learn doctrine from the Word of God, you cannot separate the three persons of the Godhead. So God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now the power of that statement is remarkable. Here's what God was saying. I want to make man to resemble us. That's what the Father was saying. I want man to resemble us. Now, the word likeness also means I want man to have our nature. Now, think about that. I want man to have our nature. Peter writes in another place, he said this, that you and I, through the act of transformation, have been made partakers of the divine nature. So, basically, here's what transformation is. Everybody say, I'm listening. Here's what transformation is. It is taking a person who has a fallen nature and restoring them back to the point of original creation with a divine nature. Now, what you see in all of us is the work in progress. It will not be completed until we get to heaven and we awaken his likeness. But hopefully, during this process of metamorphosis that we're going through called transformation, we are learning how to conform more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ from where we started. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Do you understand that? So that means that salvation is more than just a prayer you pray. It's more than just an act or an event. It is actually a way of life. Okay. Now, yesterday I was over at Joe and Dawn's and I was playing a clip for Joe, and we watched a guy I've been praying for and following for well over a year now, Jordan Peterson. He made this statement, and because everybody keeps asking him through the course of the development of his lectures and his thought process, it's created a curiosity around the world of, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And he says, here's the way that he has settled. At first he said this, I don't even like that question. I don't like that question. Then, as his journey to God was unfolding, he began to answer it this way. I'm trying to act as though God exists. That's what he said. Now, there's a reason why he said that. He said, belief is not a statement. It's not a declaration. Belief defines how you live. That's in agreement with the book of James. Show me your faith by your works. It's easy to say, I believe, and think by your statement that everything's okay. But belief is shown in literally how you live, how you act. Okay? And so when he said that, that caught my attention. Now watch this. I'm trusting in the fact that we're gathered here this morning and everybody here has not just made a statement of faith, but I'm trusting that you're living and acting in faith. In agreement with the transformation process that begun at salvation, and you're living your life being conformed to the image of His Son. Now, listen, I call you back now to Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." That's what God said. I want you to turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 14. And when you get there, look up here at me. Don't read any further. Just look up here at me when you get to Isaiah 14. Okay. It doesn't take long nowadays to find Isaiah 14 because we have these wonderful things called phones, right? In Isaiah 14, you have the story of the fall of Lucifer. That's what's being represented in Isaiah 14. Now, I want you to listen to close to what I'm about to say. This is not an original thought. I listened to a podcast the other day of a guy that, if you look at him, you'd think this guy he just looks weird, but he had incredible depth, and things that he was sharing on that podcast refreshed my mind to some stuff, and I found it odd. We had just considered Genesis 1:26 last Sunday. This was, I think, Monday or Tuesday or something like that. I heard this podcast. The guy's name was Robin Bullock, and he began to go into some things that connects to what we were talking about in Genesis 1:26. But I don't want you to lose the thought that we're still inside of the borders of elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That's the thought we're contemplating, okay? And to be elect according to the foreknowledge of God takes us back beyond time where time began, because God foreknew you before there was a you, right? Paul even says, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Okay? So consider that. Now everybody, answer this question honestly. I want you to answer this question honestly. How many of you has had inner struggles inside of yourself wrestling with how to conform to the image of God's Son? Anybody been there? How many of you has had struggles inside of you, and when you're struggling, you're at a point of stress, you're at a point of conflict, you're at a point of all of these things, and you're trying to decide which way to go, and you can feel actually the natural part of you pulling you in one direction, yet you know in your mind and in your spirit that God is pulling you in this direction? How many of you have ever experienced that? See, if everybody's honest, we all have. Everybody say amen to that. Okay? I feel suddenly an urge to say something that's going to rub against all of our kind of religiosity for a second. Okay? How many of you have ever heard this statement? Well, all sin is sin in the eyes of God. It's all the same. How many of you heard that? Yeah. Did you know that ain't true? It's not true. There are some sins. Hear me out fully. There are some sins that have greater consequence than others. You study the nature of God through the Old Testament and New Testament, you'll find that to be true. There are some sins that have greater consequence than other sins. For example, when they were sacrificing children to the god Molech in the Old Testament, there was a consequence to that that was greater than the consequence to other behaviors. Everybody say amen to that. So not necessarily all sin is the same in the eyes of God. However, get this. any sin that violates the nature or law of God makes us guilty of all sin. According to the writing of James, if you've offended in one point, you've offended in every point. Everybody say amen to that. So even though your struggle may be different than my struggle, even though tempts you and lures you off into fleshly patterns or natural patterns may be different than mine, okay, and even the consequences may be different, the origins are the same. And I want you to understand that. Now let's go back for a minute to Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Now I want to recite to you what Satan's objective was. He said this in the book of Isaiah. I'm just going to read to you one verse, but here's what Satan said. Satan said, "I will ascend above the heights of heaven, the heights of the clouds. I'm going to make my throne above the throne of God." And in verse 14, he says this, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." Listen to this. "I will be like the Most High." Did you hear what that said?
Yeah.
Satan said that. Satan said, "I will be like the Most High." Now, do we have a written record in the Word of God who is like God? Well, here's what God said. "I'm going to make man in our image after our likeness." Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? How many of you realize that Lucifer was a created angel? Did you know that Satan did not say, "I'm going to be God"? He said, "I want to be like God." Do you know why that Satan has targeted you and me for destruction? Because we have what he desires. Did you hear that? Please tell me y'all heard what I just said. Because listen, if you grasp that concept, you've just defeated Satan in your life. You have completely defeated him. Satan is saying, "I want man's position." Why would Satan want man's position? Here's why. You and I have yet to realize the power that we have on planet Earth. We don't have a clue of the total power we have on planet Earth. Listen to what God said. "I'm going to make man in our image and after our likeness. And here's what I'm going to do for man. I'm going to give him," listen, when you're dealing with this, you're actually dealing with election, creation, and position. That's all wrapped up in the creativity of God toward man. Here's what God said about man. "I'm going to make man in our image after our likeness. And I want man to take dominion over all the creation and subdue it." All that's found in Genesis 1. Okay? Now watch. Follow the story. That gives man authority. Over all of the earth. Then God said this, "I want man to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." That's what God said. So, you have authority and you have the blessings of God to be a fruit bearer. That's all of that is sealed up in creation. Everybody say amen to that so far. Then God said, "I'm going to give you a garden to dress and keep." So God gave us authority. He gave us the blessing of fruitfulness. And he gives us purpose and work. Meaning. Did you know that the child of God has what the psychological world's been looking for since there has been a psychological science? And that is meaning and purpose. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Everybody say I'm listening.
I'm listening.
Okay, so now watch this. Listen, all that was God give to man. This did not set well with Satan, apparently. Because Satan comes in Genesis 3, and here's what Satan said. Satan said, "Hey, did God really say that you could eat of every tree of the garden?" So, here's Satan's attack. How many of you want to know how Satan comes against you? Here's the first place he comes against you. He starts questioning in you, what did God really say? The fallacy of many believers are being led to believe in our day today that the Word of God is just a matter of interpretation. Well, everybody has a different interpretation. Watch. The Scripture itself says that the Word of God is not by private interpretation. It's by Holy Spirit revelation. If you're trying to understand the Scripture without engaging first in the transformation process, then all you have is conformity, and your willpower will not sustain you. You with me so far? So Satan questions that. And then here's what Satan says to Eve. God knows that in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge, of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, God knows that your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. Eve was already like God. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
So he begins to question truth in its reality form. Paul writes that Eve was deceived by this. See, she was already like God. She didn't have the knowledge of not being like God. And Satan was really twisting exactly opposite the truth and saying, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll then be like God. You're going to become more like God. Eve had no knowledge of that. All Eve knew in the current state she was in is that she was like God. She was created in the image and the likeness of God. Y'all following me so far?
Yeah.
Now, if you study Daniel 10 and Revelation 9, we're not going to do that today, but if you study that, then and you couple together all of the things that I'm just saying, you have to arrive at this truth. This is the important truth. Everything that I've said so far this morning leads to this one truth, and then we have to hurry back to the original line we're studying, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Here's the truth that I have just described for you, and I really need you to hear this if you don't hear nothing else. You ready?
Yep.
The spirit world, in all of its content and aspects, can only function or operate on planet Earth with your permission.
Mm. Crazy. Huh.
Did you know that? Did you know that God needs your permission in order to save you? You are saved by inviting Him into your heart. Are you not? God does not save someone that does not give Him permission to do it. You with me? Now, how many of you believe God is more powerful than Satan? Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
Satan cannot do one thing without your permission.
Hey.
Did you know I've just answered the dilemma of the earth in its present form? Mm-hmm. Do you want to know why that there is such evil on the earth right now? Because you and I have given permission to the spirit world to invade the natural world. We're giving evil permission to reign. When we violate our creative act at the original point and fall into any sin, we're doing it because we're giving permission to a demonic force to continuously tempt, draw, and lure us out of the path of transformation. Now watch this. Listen, guys. I've been there. You've been there. But we are now there at a much higher level than we've ever been in the history of my life, at least. God showed us a picture of this just the other day. On Fox News, primetime show, they showed an illegal alien that they had captured coming across the border. And this was from the secular world. on Fox News, Jesse Waters coined this person as demon possessed.
Yes.
Because it was the only description available for what was being seen. And it was like God was drawing a picture for us here in this nation, and he was saying this: you're being invaded by evil. And it's not necessarily at the southern border that this is happening. It's at the border in the second heavens that this is happening. God's people are yielding permission to Satan to have his way in our lives. I just told you the truth.
Yes.
I not only just told you the truth, I told you a truth that will liberate you and set you free if you will grab it, feed on it, think about it, meditate on it, and really make it your truth. Hear me. You cannot change yourself, but you can give permission to God to change you from one state of being into another state of being.
Right. Yeah.
Every time you make a resolution to yourself and say, I'm going to read the Bible more, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to learn more, I'm going to learn the ways of God more, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. You've already failed, because in your own declaration, you're saying, I am going to do this. It won't work. But if we yield permission to God to invade our lives, then we're no longer dealing with that old rotten self that we are. We're entering into a metamorphosis of change where you don't recognize yourself anymore, because you don't belong to yourself. You belong to Jesus, and you are fulfilling the role that God created for you back at the original point of creation, to have authority over Satan and every demon of hell. He cannot do anything unless you give him permission to do it. Do you find that a little bit wonderful? Do you find it just a little bit striking?
Yes.
Okay, now let's go back to elect according to the foreknowledge of God. God is so infinite that he knew what your choices would be. And here's the deal. Every bit of this is wrapped around something called free will. God does not assign certain people to go to hell, certain people to go to heaven. That's not what happens at all. You decide. And because of your authority in creation, man makes the choice, man makes the decision, man decides. And it's that authority that Satan wants. It's that authority that Adam and Eve yielded over to him. The reason there is an spirit of Antichrist, and the reason the earth will be ruled by Satan, is because man has given permission for Satan to do that. God, in his foreknowledge, knows this. Listen to me. Back before Adam was created, there is a wealth of stuff, if you want to know the truth, about before Adam was created. Okay? But back before Adam was created, God knew Jeff Rowland. He knew me. And he knew me so well that he knew that when I turned 6 years old, that revelation was going to come into that little boy's body. And that little boy was going to know of the reality of hell. He was going to know of the reality of heaven. He was going to hear about Jesus dying on a cross for him. And he was going to understand in that second the reality of that concept. And God knew that that little boy was going to get up out of his seat where he was sitting, and he was going to walk all the way down, and he was going to look up at that preacher and say, I need to be saved. And God knew that I was going to lift up my head and open up my eyes and say, God, save me. God knew that. And because God knew that, he had a pre-planned destiny for that little boy's life. But it all hinged on me giving God permission to do it. through the course of my life that I've walked through circumstance, through sinful ways, through glorious ways, and to see all of the things that I've seen in my life, watch this, at each turn, at each crook, at each bend in the road, I had choice to make. I had decision to make. Will I still give God permission? Or will I yield permission over to a demonic force that's drawing me aside because this looks so wonderful and I really want to do this? But no, God says this is the destiny for your life. Often I've chose different paths. I really have. Often. But God even foreknew that. And God made me a promise. I hope everybody just, if you can hear me. God made me a promise. Every time Satan comes in your path and you yield permission to him, there'll be consequences. Some of them greater than others. But I'm even going to take that and turn it into my glory. See, that's the part we didn't get that. I'm talking and y'all are sitting out there and some of you, but you're not getting it. And I want you to get it. I really want you. I need you to get this. You give permission to Satan, but God even takes our mess and makes glory of it. That's how big God is. Do you know why he does that? Because we're selected. We're chosen. It's already, the destiny is already set. Here's what God said to me about it. He said, hey, don't worry about Jim. What I started, I will finish. But God, this hurts. I know it hurts, but I made a promise that I was going to finish what I started. This is what I started. This is how it's going to end. And as hard as it may be, and as much pain as there is involved in it, I will finish what I started. That is election according to the foreknowledge of God. So when Peter's writing this, listen. I hope you hear this. When Peter's writing this, he comes from the presupposition that you already have all of that knowledge before he goes on any further. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
He says this, you're strangers in verse 1. In verse 2, he said, you're chosen. You are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. If you don't have that understanding that I just gave to you, then you cannot understand the rest of what Peter writes. Now we understand why we read the Bible so often we say, I don't even know what it's talking about. I need somebody to explain it to me. Why? Because we're not getting and paying attention to the details of every word that is written. Because God orchestrated his word out of his divine nature. You must be in that spirit in order to receive anything from it. Please tell me y'all just heard what I said. Did you hear it? So here, watch. I'm done. Fix the clothes up. Listen to me. What happens in your life happens because you give it permission to. I'm just looking for a group of people that will say, God, I give you permission to do whatever you need to do in my life. Wow. God, I give you permission. I give you permission to invade me, to captivate me. God, I give you permission to fill me. I surrender. And surrender is the act of giving God permission. I'm looking for a group of people that will stop giving Satan permission to play with your mind that God has already paid the price for. I have to come to that place of decision in me all the time, every day. Lord, my mind is wandering. This thought that invaded the genetic makeup of my brain is starting to play havoc with my emotions and my life, Lord. So I think what I'm going to do, God, is please, I invite you to not just take my heart, take my mind. Now watch this, listen, did you know that when you do that, here's what the Bible says, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So the heart transaction's already been done. The process is the mind. Understanding that what Satan has always desired and what he's always went after is your position. It's not God's position he's going after. That's not it. He knows he can't have that. Okay? But he does want what God gave to man. Satan said, I will ascend above the clouds. I will be like God. And God said, I'll create man in my likeness, after my image. He's after our position. Only then can he rule the world. Y'all see that? Let's stop giving him permission. At least on this geographical spot on planet Earth, let's give Satan no permission. What about that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to have at least just one spot on planet Earth, a piece of dirt somewhere that was sanctified, holy, before the Lord, that Satan does not have permission to trod on? Could it be that that's what Jesus was speaking of when he said that that the gates of hell will not prevail?
Yeah.
Let's get one little piece of ground and say this is God's place. We're going to give God permission to rule. We're not going to give Satan permission. Come on up, John. Don, come on up. Father, bless, I pray. Bless in the time of worship. Bring us to a point of decision. I wonder if this is odd. I don't think Pastor Joe would mind. I wonder if he's somebody that'll say, you know what, I've been giving Satan permission in my life. Pray for me. Is there somebody to hold your hand up and say, that's me? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's that. Lord, you see his hands. And Lord, here's what I'm asking. I pray that today we have entered into a point of decision where that's not going to be so long. We're going to give you permission. We'll give you permission. We'll surrender more today. And by that act of surrender, we are inviting you. We're saying, God, you have permission to invade this place and our lives to bring about change and transformation. We love you.